God bless you. I am going to go ahead and translate the service for Wednesday, November 10th with Pastora Patty Chuta. I don't know if this has ever happened to you where you're craving something like a big, like juicy steak. You know, like those really thick, juicy ones. Have any of you ever craved that before? Yeah, and I can see that the brother right now, yeah, he's craving one right now. And sometimes it's because your body is craving protein, you know. But then there's other times, of course, what you watch on TV. Like then when we see pizza, my husband and I are like, ah, pizza. Okay, maybe I'll stop there with the food. But I mean, these are the messages that we get in a subliminal way of these messages of food. But then, you know, like we can go back to having a natural urge for like the thick steak. And that usually happens to me when I'm lacking protein, you know, or iron, when I'm low on iron or protein. So at this point, you know, it's just that is more of a craving, not a desire. There is a difference between craving and desire. Like, I don't know, has there any women here been away from their I don't know how many women here have been away from their husband for some time. I remember when I had heard that Brother Alex's mom was going to be here for 3 months. I was like, wow, when I was gone for a month, you know, that was really hard. And, you know, I missed my husband. I longed for my bed. I miss being with my children. I miss that relationship that, you know, that we have, you know, miss that contact with them. And, you know, you can even fall into a depression because of longing that so much. So that's what I'm referring for. I'm not referring to material things here. Because when there are people that, or more, let's say the young people, you know, they want a boyfriend, they want a girlfriend. But in reality, what their heart longs for is not too much as in having a boyfriend or a girlfriend. It's the relationship, having that communication, having someone that they can communicate with. But in reality, that's more like when you're actually dating, because when you get married, you don't really even talk to each other. But there is a longing. And let's remember what the Bible says in the beginning. You know, God told Adam that it's not good for him to be alone. And so God said, okay, I'm going to make him a helper for him. Yes, so be a helper, okay? Don't be the opposite of a helper. Don't be a non-helper. You know, like the proverb says, you know, it's better to live in a corner of a little house than to have that woman to be picking, 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 and picking. So simply God has called us to be a helper to our husband. So the longing is a desire that goes above. So it goes above the physical. It goes beyond that. So that longing will allow you to take those steps of the things that you desire. So when a young man wants to, you know, have a young lady as his girlfriend, you know, he will step out because he has that longing. He has that desire to have that relationship with her. You know, he goes out and he does anything that he can to win her over. And it doesn't happen overnight. I mean, he's not going to just go up there and say, hey, girl, you know, like, I want to date you. No, he finds ways, you know, unless he's not very tactful about it. But there are different ways. You know, he finds ways and he finds ways to, you know, talk to her and say, hey, how are you? So he finds those steps. So as the Bible talks about longing, there has to be a deep desire within us to have that abundance. To have that abundance on the gifts that we have. And the longing doesn't just come out of the blue. It actually occurs in the midst of maturing. There comes a point where, you know, going to church and sitting down, it's not enough anymore. It's not sufficient. You start saying, I want more of God. I want more of God. I want to get to know more of God. So then you start seeking him more. You start reading the Bible more. You get to know him more. And the things of the Lord attract you more. Because there is a longing within you, in your spirit, to connect with the Creator. This class is discovering the heart of the Creator. So we're putting the platform here in the series of the gifts, because with each step we're taking, with each class that we're taking, we need to learn why do we need to use them, how do we need to use them, and how to apply them. I want to make a small parenthesis right now, because I don't want you to focus only, or more like, I don't want you to think that the gifts are more important than the fruits. Like what it says right here in the first point that I have written on the board. That is the first point, that is to long and have that abundance of the gifts. And you can write next to that, this is a outcome of having that maturity, because you're entering into that maturity level. And so you're going to long for more things of God. It's not going to be enough just to come and to be singing a few songs. You're going to long for more of Him. You're going to long for those weapons that God has given us, because they are very powerful weapons that we can use. When a soldier enters, and this reminds me of when I was part of the police academy, you know, you come in and you train. I mean, they don't give you a rifle right away as soon as you walk in. First, there's training. You know, they give you a detail. It goes around the waist. They give it to you to defend yourself. It's not really a baton. You know what they give you? They actually give you a flashlight. They give you one of those long black flashlights. You know, they don't even give you the baton that you're able to utilize to defend yourself. They don't give you that at first. And then you're kind of like, you know, longing for them to give you that weapon, that rifle that you want to use. You know, you start longing for that gun. You just really start longing for those weapons. You know, they start showing you how to, you know, clean the guns and the rifles and how to, you know, pull it apart, put it together. And you're like, I don't want to learn how to clean it. I want to use it. You know, and as a young person, you know, you don't want to do any of that. But then you have your badge, you have your uniform, and then this is on there like West Covina Police Department. And then, you know, you feel some kind of authority, and it's like, you know what, don't yell at me because I got my flashlight here. You know, and then you whip out your flashlight, and you kind of wave it around like, yeah, don't mess with me because, you know, I have my flashlight here. And then you're like, okay, so what happens if somebody tries to attack me? What do you do? Like, you know, put the flashlight in their face and, you know, kind of flash it around? You know, so of course we longed, you know, for us to have those weapons that we needed to defend ourselves. We were really, really wanting and longing those weapons to utilize them. But see, it's very important to reach that maturity level. And that's why, and spiritually speaking, and that's why the classes on Wednesday, as unpopular as they may be, they are so important, so crucial for your life. I mean, this is really getting deep into the roots and to planting this. And then you realize, ah, there's more to this. I long for more. You know, there's so much more that, you know, there is there. And God wants you to have more. It's not just about, you know, coming to church and singing and praying. You know, God longs for you to have more. You know, God still has revelation to give to you. You know, the word of God says, seek me and I will give to you things of the unknown. Do you know what that means? That simply means that there are things that I still don't know that God still needs to reveal to me. As for me, like, I long to know those hidden things that God still needs to reveal to me. When you start growing in maturity, you start longing for those things. 1 Corinthians, verse 12, 4 through 6. I was saying that I want to emphasize in that everything is important. The fruits, like the fruits, they go hand in hand with the gifts. I can't tell you, like, I have, like, the gift of prophesying, but you're disobedient in your church and in your spiritual home. So the fruits are very important. They go hand in hand. Show me your fruits. So I want to continue with that emphasis in the midst of giving these classes about your the gifts, because they go hand in hand. because I don't want anybody to fall in the misconception that it's all about the gifts, because that's not true. Yes, have that desire for your gifts to grow, but just make sure that the fruits are reflecting. Because there is another class, series of class of fruits. And after the class of the gifts, we'll get into the class of the fruits. But everything goes hand in hand. So on the verse, it says diversity of the gifts. So there is diversity in gifts, but the same Spirit, as well as ministries, but the Lord is still the same. There is a diversity in the way it operates, but the Lord is still the same, the one that created everything. So in the midst of the longing, we have to say that, you know, we say like, I'm going to have a ministry. But if you're longing for a ministry and you're longing to do something for the Lord, you know, whether it is, you know, picking up the papers after service and picking up water bottles, because sometimes water bottles are left behind, although I think it might be us. Because the thing is that when you long for a ministry, you have to long also for the gifts that go with it. It's important so that way they can continue to develop and grow, and that way you can have your ministry and in the midst of your ministry. You know, like how do I do this, Pastora? I'm going to do like Pastor, I'm learning, you know, like, you know, by saying, you know, how Pastora? Okay, so you want to know how? I'll tell you how. So I can have a ministry and I can have it going for some time and it goes well for some time. But if I don't have discernment, and that's one of the gifts, one of the gifts, that the problem is that without discernment, somebody can approach me, you know, bad intentions at work or at church. Having that discernment in the middle of a ministry, we have to be careful because sometimes there's envy. In the midst of your ministry, you know, people might rise up and have envy in their hearts towards you. And there are also people that might be very like stubborn and, you know, they may seem like they're submitting to the cause, to the ministry, but it's a superficial submitting to the things and they still have that stubbornness in their heart. But how am I going to discern that and see that if I don't have discernment? If I don't have it, I'm not activating it. Because if I don't have it, I'm going to trip and fall. Because that person is going to come. And since I don't have discernment, I'm going to be played pretty much. I will believe that person without the discernment. And then when I finally come to realize, the damage was already done. But if I have discernment, I will say, Lord, you're going to guide me. You're going to protect me. And you will also alert me. Those also discernment of unholy spirits. See, the Lord is preparing us in this church. Because when more people come, for those that are working in ministry in different areas, like our teachers, they need to understand and have the discernment and know that not everybody that comes through those doors have a willing heart to learn and to receive. There are people that are sent literally from the pits of hell to come and disrupt God's plan, God's working. So I say, Lord, even when I'm up there ministering, I say, Lord, you are going to bring to light things that need to be brought to light. Let me share with you something very powerful that I was sharing with someone. And I had never analyzed this verse from the Bible in this way. And I was like, Lord, wow. You know, many times we say that verse that, Lord, whatever's in secret, you are going to bring to light. So go ahead and, you know, share that verse with your kids, with your teenagers, that, you know, things come to light. You know, come and you know, share with me, because we can pray, we can fight together. So going back to that verse, as I said, I had never analyzed it like I did this time. See, when the Lord has a purpose for your life, you can hide anything into the darkest, deepest part of your closet. But God has the power to take it out from the closet and expose it. If God has the power to heal, and Jesus had the authority to tell the waves to come, if he can direct the essence of naturalness in the world, don't you think he has the power and the authority to expose something that is hidden, that is in secret? That's why it's Wednesday of study, because on Sundays, yeah, we like to be motivated and scream like, yeah, but Wednesdays is about learning. Now, if there are things that are hidden, we got to say no, Lord, because the thing is that the Lord will and can expose them. There are people that like flee and stay away from prophets, from somebody that can actually bring a prophetic word. And it's like, well, how do you know, Pastora? Yo también era joven. I was young too. And then I would be like, oh, you know, this prophet's going to know stuff about me. Like, you know, they're going to say something. Because, you know, God has the power to release things that are a secret, that are hidden. You know, so that's why sometimes when, you know, they know that somebody with a prophetic word comes, they're like, ah, like, no, because, you know, because if there's something in my person or in my character, you know, God's going to expose it. He's going to release it. So God will bring it to light, and nobody has to tell the prophet anything. For example, like, we don't know exactly who's really going to come to the services when Pastor Fernando comes. I mean, we don't know. But at the end, God knows us by name. He knows you guys by name. He knows us by name. And I like that because, you know, sometimes as pastors, you know, people may say, well, you know, well, pastors know us. They know us. And there may be times where, you know, the word is not given through a prophetic word is not given through pastors because the heart is not ready. It's not open and ready to receive it. But if you have a willing heart and you have a ready heart, you know, God will give a word and boom, and then another word and boom, and he'll give you another word because the heart is ready. So speaking of when, you know, going back to when we desire and we long for ministry, you have to long for the gifts, and they have to be aligned with the fruits. I can't come up here and minister, but yet have something in my heart towards somebody here. Wait a minute, you sing up there, freedom. And then you get down and you look at that brother or sister and they're like, ugh, that person did this to me and that person did that to me, and murmuring and blah, blah, blah. Simply the word of God says that we are open letters. We're open books read by everyone. See, you don't see me like warning people like, no, watch out for this brother, this sister. No. Because eventually those people will be known by their fruits. Nobody needs to say anything about anyone. I mean, do you understand? Do you understand? But I can actually hurt someone with my testimony if my fruits are not aligned. And then again, you know, going back and singing like freedom, and you know, somebody comes and talks to me, it's like, you know, because in the end, the fruits will be shown. The fruits will reveal themselves of each person. And then you get concerned maybe that somebody's talking about you, Sister Petra. You don't worry about anybody talking about you. You let it go because eventually the fruits will be shown. So if you long to have a ministry, you must also long to have the gifts of the Spirit. But remember that the fruits go hand in hand. And that's when you can ask the Lord, Holy Spirit, asking the Holy Spirit and saying, Holy Spirit, help me, guide me to give the right fruits, to show the right fruits. So this is another lesson, but I'm going to get into it. So you're like, you know, Holy Spirit, help me with my anger. And then all of a sudden, you're like the happiest person in the world. Okay, it doesn't work that way, okay? So I don't want you to say like, oh, you know, the pastora said to pray. You know, you need to understand that there's a process that you have to go through. See, and in that process, God gives us proper domain over these things. You know, have self-control in the midst of this process. So there is a word that I learned a few years ago, and that's auto-administration. So it's auto-administration. I myself will minister to myself. I'm not going to go ask a sister, am I wrong? Am I wrong? No, I'm going to say, Patricia, you are wrong. Patricia, you are wrong. If there's something that is hindering you, hurting you, let it go. You know, I need to administer that to myself. But if we're walking in the flesh, obviously, I'm not even going to realize what's going on. I'm not going to realize that I'm wrong. But if I seek and I ask the Lord, I want to walk right with you. Show me, teach me. And yes, when you have a ministry, this is a part of it. This is a part of what you must do. No, I think I'm going to make this into a 3-part series. So going back, point number one is having that longing. So the longing comes when you are mature, you're maturing. Because if you're not maturing, you know, you will have the mentality of like, you know what? What's the point? What's the point of longing? I'll just have that, you know, brother or sister pray for me. But then when the enemy comes and attacks you or your household, you won't have the power and authority. You're going to be like, pastors, because you didn't have the authority, because you weren't longing to have that. I mean, it's an easy route to go, right? To have other people pray for us. I mean, it's nice to have other people pray for us. It's like, bow down and you're like, pray for me, please. But we don't want to be the ones to do the dirty work. You know what? Like, you just got to push yourself. You know what? I'm going to go hug that person because that person needs something from the Lord. And if that person puts up a wall, like a sturdy wall, and like showing that, you know, there's that resistance, I'm going to start praying. I'm going to ask the Lord to give an opportunity to be able to reach that heart. We need to realize that if the Lord places people around you that need to hear of the Lord, it's because the Lord knows that you're capable of bringing that to them. You have the capacity to do it. But there is a verse in the Bible that says, but God has given us liberty, a free will. At the end, we're the ones that make the decision. I will never forget this. I don't know if some of you may recall of a young man that came to the church. His name is David. And he gave a testimony. And he gave a very powerful testimony that he carried in his heart. I don't know why I'm sharing this right now, but I always tell the Lord, I have my notes, but Lord, you have yours, so you're going to guide me. What the hearts need to hear. Maybe there's somebody out there that needs to hear this. So he shared that he was in the classroom, and there was this particular person sitting in front of him. He shared this with the youth, that person sitting in front of him needed to hear something from the Lord. And he heard the Lord tell him, David, talk to them. Talk to this person. Speak of the Lord. And as we all struggle with different things, you know, some may be a little bit shy. Others may be afraid of rejection. And some don't know how to maybe start a conversation and don't know exactly what they can say or what should they say. But all of that, when you give it to the Lord, he takes a hold of it. And the only thing that the Lord is waiting for is for you to take that step of faith. And the Lord was like, David, you need to talk to this person. They need to hear from the Lord. And he was like, you know what? I don't know. Like, maybe another day. And after a while, David didn't see that person in school anymore. And he started asking what happened because he still carried that burden of talking to him. Because he had that burning or that, I'm sorry, that conviction to talk to this person. He found out later on that this person committed suicide. And I want to tell you something right now. That if if having shame to speak the things of the Lord or to show that fruit, to show that you're Christian. David carried that guilt. The guilt of knowing that he could have made a difference in this person's life. There are times that the enemy will be the one to put in your mind that you're not enough, that you can't do it, that you have failed way too many times and you can't, that you are imperfect. But when you put yourself in the hands of God, it doesn't matter who we are. And you can be the person with the lowest self-esteem. Let's look at Esther and Malachi. They freed a whole nation because they allowed God to use them. But if you look at it, they were the least qualified to do something so powerful. She was an orphan. She didn't have her parents, but in the hands of God, we can actually make the difference. What our Father longs for us to understand, number one, is for us to have the same qualities as our Father. Let me ask you, as a father to your family, what is it that you desire for your children? Sister Diana, what is it that you want for your children? What do you desire for your children? For when they grow up, what is it that you desire for them? What is it that you long for them for when they get older? The microphone was handed to Sister Diana, and she says what she longs for is for her children just to be well. Now, Sister Sylvia, what is it that you long for your children? And she says health. See them doing well. Once again, health, for them to be healthy, physically speaking. The longing of a parent, this is something that we need to understand. When we come into the path of the Lord, the Father wants us to continue to grow, to be right with Him. Like I said, you can come into the ministry and be right for a few months or maybe even a year. But if there are things that are internally in you that are not right, sooner rather than later, or sooner rather than later, they will come out. They will show. And then you're not going to be able to serve, because in the midst of it, you didn't seek the Lord for those gifts, for those fruits to flourish in you. You know, and like I said, you know, we just can't come to the Holy Spirit and say, you know, Holy Spirit, help me with X temptation. You know, we'll just call it X temptation. You know, but then you're entering and looking into things, and you know, the Lord's not going to come and remove everything or close you out of your Facebook. He's not going to come and, you know, close your Instagram. It's up to you. You're the one that has the authority. You're the one that has the will. You're the one that has self-control. It's not going to go away like a little magic act. You know, as parents, you know, we want our kids to grow, be healthy, mature. Or, I don't know, maybe is there somebody here that maybe wants their kids to be living in your home till they're 50 eating cereal? No, right? Like, I don't think you do. And there was a sister that said that, you know, one of her sons is close to her. And Pastora said, like, but you don't want, you know, your kids to grow, get married. And I couldn't hear what the sister was saying, but maybe possibly yes, because then Pastora says, okay, you know, we're just going to have a meeting after church and we're going to do a little bit of prayer there. You know what, as a mom, maybe, yeah, you want them there at your house, but I know that deep down inside, you know, you want them to grow up. You want them to be happy. You want them to be married. And let me tell you something, they will grow up. In more ways than one, they will grow in more ways than one because they eat more too. And I tell my mom, like, you know, make sure you take care of your little chicks right now, because with one quesadilla, you know, three people can eat off of that right now. And then they get to that age, like 11 to 13, and it's like, oh my gosh, like you got to get out of the way, because if not, they might even eat your arm. You know, they'll add a little barbecue for a little, you know, flavor on there. But it's the reality. The more they grow, the more they eat. And then can you imagine then you have a 50-year-old living in your house? You're going to have to buy like 50,000 pounds of cereal for it to be able to maintain. But in reality, we want our kids to grow. We want them to be mature. And our Heavenly Father wants the same for us to grow, for us to mature in Him. And as children, you know, they fall, they scrape their knees, but they get back up. Yeah, they fall, but they get back up. As a parent, yeah, we want you to grow. Yeah, you might fall. It might be inevitable for you to fall. It might happen, but you need to get back up. You rise up. You just shake yourself up, clean yourself up, and you keep on walking. The longing of our Heavenly Father is for you to keep on walking, growing and maturing as well. So it says on Genesis 1:27, and He created men in His image. In the image of God, He created men. When I was studying this, literally five other studies came from this study. But I'm only going to give you one. But in that part, I was like, wow. But right now, we're going to into a little bit something more basic. We're speaking of what the Father's heart longs for us. When somebody at school tells us like, oh, you know what, your son or daughter is so smart. You know, your son is very, or your daughter is very talented. You know, they're very fast. What is it that we say? Oh, you know, he or she came out like me. Of course. And then when they say like, man, like they came out bad. Oh, no, they came out like the dad. You know, that's when we say that. And if they came out like really angry, it's like, oh no, they came out like the dad. But it can also be vice versa. Or he can say, yeah, you know, he came out or she came out like, you know, like the mom, you know, that's the stuff that we say. So this is where I want to take you, that the heart of the Father rejoices when the son or daughter does well. That's where I want to take you. You know, it's like, oh, your son or daughter is smart. Oh, like me. Your son or daughter has anger issues. Oh, like the mom. It's like you want to show off the best. I mean, isn't that true? Yes or no? So we saw this with our son that plays sports. Oh, man. I think I'm going to have to owe a cheeseburger. But this is a really good one. So, yeah, I'm going to share it. Because, you know, of course, you know, we wanted, you know, he wanted them to play sports and be good at the sports. And so when Abraham started playing soccer, and so, you know, you would see like him running and stuff, but it really wasn't him. It wasn't anything that he really like wanted to do. It wasn't like his desire to play this. And then the father wanted him to be good at it, to love it. And of course, the father wants to show off the best. And then, you know, when the school tells us, oh, you know, they're doing well in this or that, you know, oh, yeah, you know, that was me right there. But when they tell you something that they're doing wrong there, it's like you don't say anything. You stay quiet. You know, we become quiet. And it's like you're not going to show off, you know, the bad things. You're only going to want to talk about the good stuff. You're not telling people, oh, you know what, my son or daughter doesn't clean. They don't pick up after themselves or anything like that. Of course not. You don't say things like that. And so my husband, you know, would tell Abraham, like, run, run, run. And there he would run and run the other way. And then once again, he'll be like, run, run, run. And there he goes running again. I don't know. But, you know, there was like 10 coaches there. Who was the actual coach? Who knew? There were so many there at the games. And, you know, because they were all small, of course, all the parents were there encouraging their kids to play well. And Abraham, how old were you when you started playing? And he was 7 years old. And then, yeah, that's right, because then at 8 years old is when he actually played football. Oh, but when the Lord calls us to be the Levites, oh, yes. You know, but God had God has His plans. And, you know, my husband wanted him to play the sports because he was good at sports. You know what? Being the first son, you know, the first boy, it's like, yeah, you know, he wanted him to go for it and, you know, telling him to go and run. And, you know, he would tell him like, run, run, go get the ball, go, go. And he'll be like, come on, Abby, run, run. And Abby would be like, I'm running. You know, and his face would be all upset and looking at him like, I am running. Stop telling me to run. I mean, in reality, the father, you know, wants his son to be, you know, exalted. You know, he wants to him to be like that prize winner. See, our Heavenly Father wants the same thing for us. He wants you to embrace it with passion. He wants you to do it with love. He wants you to give your 100%. When you come to church, he wants you to worship as though it was like your last day on earth. And you know what? I love to worship. But I was here with my eyes closed. And you know, and I was worshiping. And then as I realized, you know, I was already like almost towards the altar. So there I go, I was scooting back because I was already walking away from my chair. So ushers, please pay attention. You know, if you ever see me kind of like wandering towards the front, you know, just pull me back. Be like, Pastora, you got to get back. So if you're going to worship the Lord, worship the Lord. And if you're going to pray, pray unto the Lord. And if I only have 10 minutes, I'm going to give that time as though if it was 1 hour, I'm going to dedicate that time to him. And then don't be like, you know, Lord, give me praise. Because a lot of the times, you know, people, there's some that start praying and they start falling asleep. But pay attention to what the enemy does, because at that point, he really throws like all the darts to you. And he throws them to your mind. So I'm going to go ahead and share with you this story. So there was this man that was given a horse. So the catch was to pray for only 1 hour, simply 1 hour, without being distracted or thinking of anything from the outside. And just really focus on praying. And the guy was like, okay, so you'll give me the horse if I do it, right? And the other guy said, yes. But you have to be honest that you could completely disfocus from everything outside and focus and praying for 1 hour. And the guy was like, okay, I can do this. So then the guy, you know, starts preparing himself and, you know, kneels down and says, okay. After a little bit, he's like, okay, so when are you going to give me the horse? It sounds funny, but the point is this, and I need you to analyze this. And analyze this. As you start praying, you're like, Lord, Father God, wait, did I pay the light bill? And then you're like, wait a minute, I don't think I paid the light bill. You know, thoughts are going to come to your mind. You have to really analyze it and pay attention to that. You really have to like trespass the you and put that aside while you're praying. And that's why when you worship, you got to use everything, because when you're worshiping, your mind is focused on it. Everything, your body, everything's connected. And that's why, you know, I do that. So that way I don't like, I'm not looking up and looking at the lights and be like, oh man, they got to fix that light there. Like, no, there cannot be no distractions. And that's why you got to learn to identify what are those distractions, because then you won't be able to go to the next level. And, you know, it can be really distraction. I can be like, I give you glory, glory. I give you glory, glory. And then it's like, you know, there's some that are all dancing and worshiping the Lord. And there's some like literally biting their nails. And that can be such a distraction, because it's like it takes you away from your focus. And it's like, what, did you come to get your nails cleaned here? Like, really? Like cleaning your nails? Biting your nails? I mean, are you guys understanding what I'm saying here? I mean, it's like you got to hold captive your mind and tell your mind, okay, we're here. We're here. We're worshiping. Mind, we are worshiping. And the reality is this. There's always the battle between the flesh and the spirit. It will always be like that. The battle of the flesh and the spirit. The enemy's always ready to throw darts at you. And in that moment when you're finally like, okay, I'm going to pray, all of a sudden he's like, all right, you know what? Well, bills didn't get paid. What, this didn't get done. That didn't get done. And then all of a sudden, you hear the phone ring, and it's like they don't call you all day. And then that moment of prayer, boom, the phone rings. So you have to learn and turn off your phone. So the enemy is going to do everything in his power to distract you, to push you away from the things that you, that from the time of prayer and worship. And so the other day I was putting cement. I was laughing with my aunt because I was putting cement. So, you know, I was on my knees, and, you know, maybe it was like a form of punishment, because it was like 4 days that, you know, he would tell me, come on, let's go, let's go. He would leave without me. And then I, you know, I just wouldn't go. So I told her, no, I'm over here kneeling and praying and interceding for all the souls. And then it was changed like, oh, you know, because you don't do it at your house. You know, they have her over here praying. No, but you know what? The battle will always be during prayer. You know, so that's why when you come, focus, you know, don't get distracted by anybody who's not worshiping, who's worshiping, because it can be a distraction, you know, because you can be looking at a brother and sister and they're barely clapping and, you know, they're really calm or not so much calm, but they're just not really worshiping. And you're going to be like, okay, well, I guess I'm going to do it the same way, you know, because they're going to think I probably lost a marble the way I'm praising the Lord. See, you need to understand that what you do, you got to do it with passion. You got to do it with love unto the Lord. The Father wants you to do it with all of your heart, with everything that you have. He wants you to truly give him the honor, to truly say, here I am, God. You know, to disconnect from everything, from the internet, and don't be like, oh my gosh, the new series came out on Netflix and oh, I got to watch it. The new series, the new show is out. So yeah, the enemy will throw whatever he can at you to distract you, but you have to have the discernment. You have to pay attention to it, and you have to be ready to just, you know, push it back and not let it get to you. So the Father always wants to show off his son or daughter. He wants the best of his son to flourish, to show the very best. Some of the attributes that we have to share with the Father. One of them is divine connection. That's the next point, is to have communion. John 10:32 says, Jesus responded, many are my good works that I showed from the Father. So for that cause, many will throw stones. Okay, so this is where I wanted to. Is to show you that it's connected with the verses from the 1 and the 2. As to show that we need to have the good qualities, the qualities of the Father. And like I said, you know, the Father wants to show the good qualities. And the reality is, you know, our kids also have good and bad qualities from us. Even though maybe we don't like to admit the bad qualities, but they do. So Jesus says, you know, many good works I have shown you. And what he's trying to say here, that good comes from the Father. But what caught my attention from this verse was to say that when Jesus says that, because of that, many wanted to stone me. And, you know, that's what they wanted to do. They wanted to stone Jesus for that. And you know what? This comforted my heart. And I want to share something with you. Many times we can be attacked for doing the will of God. So they can say, well, look at you, look at your kids, look at your family, and you can be attacked for doing the will of God. And we haven't even touched yet on the persecution. You know, with everything that we're living in right now, the other day, you know, we were talking with Pastor about now how they are requiring the vaccine at the schools. You know, with the schools, and then eventually they're going to require it at the churches. You know, everything's changing little by little. And I was like, wow. So what? Like, if you don't have the vaccine, you can't come to the house and worship? You know, we got to pray. You know, things are advancing in this world of what's going on. I mean, Jesus was doing miracles. He was preaching. He was doing all kinds of stuff. And yet they were still out to stone him. You know what? You should make a note of this verse, because the critics are going to rise up. You know, people are going to rise up and say, oh, you know, she does it or he does it for this reason or that reason or for this or that. You know, the critics are going to rise up towards you that way. Come on now. They did it to Jesus. Jesus. And what, is my crown bigger than his? I mean, no. So point B from that same one is to have communion amongst each other. So on John 10:30, it shows you that the Father was the Son and the Son was the Father. They were one. So it says, the Father and I, we are one. I am one with my Father. So in that moment, they grabbed those rocks to stone him, and I'm sharing with you the back story. So, in all the good works that I have shown you through my Father, in the midst of it all, you still want to stone me. And let me go back to the other verse where it says that me and my Father, we are one. See, the Father wants to have that communion with you. He wants to have that communication with you, even in the smallest things. And as I was driving, you know, the Lord placed in my heart, it's a saying that we say, but it's really a verse. And it's like, your yes be yes and your no's be no's. And for us not to be double-minded. And it brought to my mind, and maybe like you have, had somebody that you work with that, you know, 1 minute they're like, yeah, they're on it, they're on fire. And then a little bit later, it's like they turn the page, they're completely different. You know, there's a medical term for things like that, like bipolar, but we cannot be bipolar, spiritually speaking. You know, there's people that like you just talk to them and then now they're like completely different. And it's like their emotion state is completely different. It's like their emotion state is not stable. They're double-minded. So you can't be double-minded. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Be no. And even in the smallest decisions, whether it's taking a job or leaving a job, you know, it's like, you know, maybe you got mad at your boss and, you know, you quit because of that. Although I did take a few days off because that. No, I'm just kidding. And then what happens when you're self-employed, you know, and you're mad at yourself, like, oh, well, too bad. You got to finish the job. You know, whether you're mad at yourself or not, you got to finish through. You got to work through it. You know, and it's like our kids, you know, they get to a certain age where it's like, you know, they don't really want to talk anymore. And like I've told Nathan, I want to hug. And, you know, there comes a point where it's like, they don't even want to like talk to you, right? And it's like, he talks like, you're like, what? It's like, what? And it's like, you know, it's like, they don't want to talk anymore. You know, what do we do with our young men, our men? But you know what? The Father, he wants to have a communion with us. You know, sometimes we make decisions, you know, very abruptly. Like we don't think about it. We don't pray about it. You know, we need to ask the Lord, Lord, do you want me to do this? Should I do this? And then the Lord will show you, walk through this door, walk through this door. The doors will be open. Walk through this door. So then you need to pray, Lord, help me to keep this door open, because your bad attitude, your bad character will have that door shut. And many times, you know, people blame God for that. You can't blame God for something that you did. And this is a time where, you know, the gifts of the Spirit come like discernment, and then ask the Lord, Lord, how do I maintain this door open? You know, and ask the Lord, whatever the door may be, whether it's a job, you know, how do I keep this door open? You know, those doors can be opened very easily. Okay, I have the job. Okay, I'm in the door now. But you got to maintain it. You got to maintain that door open. Same thing in the spiritual sense, you know, Lord, tell me when to speak. Tell me when to stay quiet. You know, and in the marriage, you know, Lord, tell me when to speak and when to stay quiet. You know, the Lord has taught me when to stay quiet in marriage and when to stay quiet and then hold it. And then finally say something. There has to be some form of a track record. You know, the Lord has revealed to us at times. And then the Lord tells us to stay quiet. And then there comes an appointed time when the Lord says, okay, speak, and now you need to react. And we need to have wisdom of how and when to do it. And the same thing goes in your home. You know, it's like, okay, you know what? I already prayed in the morning. It's like, I can't kneel down right now at work and pray. And you know what? There was times in my old job where I would go and, you know, kneel somewhere and pray, because sometimes it requires for us to kneel and pray. And, you know, sometimes you get like these bad news and what do? You know, that happened to me at work, and I got up and during my break times and I went and I kneeled and prayed. You know, you can make those quick prayers like, Lord, you know, expand the horizons, Lord, this, and Lord, you know, please. You know, as sometimes, you know, my husband is my boss, and even in the cement that I was doing, you know, I was praying over it, Lord, you know, let it be smooth, don't let it crack. You know, and everything, take account the Lord. Yes, it's true. You can do it on your own. Of course you can. But how amazing would it be to also include your Father in it, to include God in it, in everything that you do. And that's what He desires from us, to have that communion. So we'll go ahead and end with that. We're going to go ahead and make it a two-part series, seeking the heart of God, the Creator. And to close, so I don't know. So one of the things that will help us, to have the attributes of our Father, those attributes are love and mercy. And He's a forgiving Father. And one of the things that's going to help us, and you can go ahead and write this down, and that is to be jealous for the things of God. To know and understand that anything that you do is not just to fill a spot. Even if you are replacing somebody that left, do it with passion, do it with love, without thinking that, oh, they're going to come back and take this position again. So don't have that assumption that you're just filling a spot. No, no. There is purpose. And being jealous with the things of God will help you stay away from things that are toxic. Like I said, God is not going to shut down your Facebook, your Instagram, or the channels that you like to watch. Anything that is toxic in your life is anything and everything that doesn't align with the Word of God. I know that word toxic has become very, very popular, but in reality, there are a lot of things that can become very toxic in our spiritual walk. And this can be through friendships, relationships. You can actually have a friendship with a toxic person if you know how to put boundaries, if you know how to put that invisible line between you. It's like, okay, I love you, yes, but I'm going to put this boundary here because there are things that I don't want them to hinder me in my walk with the Lord. Yes, I do love you, but I will put up healthy boundaries. Proverbs is very clear about this, and it says that if you turn away from evil, you see evil and you turn away, meaning that you have that wisdom. And it's not because my sister is bad or evil, but there are things in her. Is that there may be things in her that are not right, that will hinder my walk, that I have to set those boundaries. Because what doesn't edify us will only poison us. Because sooner rather than later, it will poison you. And as a young girl, I really didn't have too many friendships. I had one friend in one high school, and then I had a friend in my high school. I was very reserved. I didn't have a lot of friends. And people would think that I was stuck up, but no, it's just that I had 1,000 boundaries around me because of things that have happened to me in my childhood. And the Lord has helped me with those boundaries, those unhealthy boundaries that I had put up. And so when I speak to you of having fear of speaking, and I have spoken to you about that, but there is one friend that I'm not going to tell you her name. Oh, well, I guess you would know, because I mean, it is only one friend. And this friend, you know, she would stay at the house, and, you know, we have told her, you know, to return to the things of the Lord. And as your children, you know, when they are with bad influence, you don't tell them like, yeah, keep going with them, because we don't want them to follow in a bad path. And as parents, we don't want them to go through that. And so our Heavenly Father wants us to be jealous of the things of Him, because He wants to deposit those things within us. So I'm going to go into more depth next week in regards to that. So keep advancing with the things you have learned. Don't get stuck. Keep moving forward. So we'll go ahead and end now, and we'll continue next week, or I might just have somebody bring a word. I don't want to bore you, but we'll definitely continue moving forward. So I will go ahead and end in prayer for this translation. I pray that it will be a blessing upon your life, that we have learned from Pastora that above everything is having that jealousy of the things of God, to make it understand that it's our own. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for the word that Pastora gave to us. Lord, Heavenly Father, let it penetrate in the deepest part of our being, Lord, Father God. That I think at the end of the day, Father God, the most important thing, Lord, is to put you first. And when we put you first, all of this follows, because we want to be right with you, because we want to follow in your footsteps, because we want to go back to what would Jesus do, having those gifts, those fruits, Father God, that reflect that we are your sons and daughters, Heavenly Father. So I pray a blessing upon every single person that hears this translation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.